Mike.
Yes.
Business. Go.
Motherfucker.
Don't throw up. Don't throw up. Don't throw up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is completely free. So if you like to show any type of support whatsoever, please do us a couple favors. First.
Go fuck yourself. Oh.
First.
Go to. Which one do we. What order do we do it in?
Facebook. Do Facebook. Yeah.
Go to Facebook, like and share the Facebook page.
Second.
Go to iTunes and subscribe. Hit the subscribe button and rate and review.
There you go.
And third.
Go to Twitter.
And do what on Twitter?
Follow us.
Yeah.
And actually use Twitter to talk to us. I added that one in. That's a new one.
That is a new one.
Our Twitter handle is?
@comesnaturalpod.
We are so good at this.
Yeah, we are.
Podcasting pros.
Yeah. Comes naturally. We are.
Joe.
I am Mike.
I am Cody.
I tried to mess up here.
Yeah, you did.
You're like,
I prepared. And I was like, nah. I remember what happened though that other time. That was not last week, but the week before. But like, I think it was the week before. Yeah. Go fuck yourself, Mike. So if this is your first time listening to the show, I'm going to warn you, this is not safe for work.
Are we going to give that warning?
Nudity.
Just because I shared the podcast with someone that I work with now, and he hit the link on his phone while we're on the sales floor.
Oh, that's
nice.
And it comes up to the part, the one where Mike's talking about cunts.
Oh, no.
And he goes off. I was like, yeah, by the way, don't listen to that without headphones on.
Doesn't it say explicit?
Like, it's a little red E, but if you're not paying attention, it doesn't really do a good job of
saying
that.
Doesn't mean E for everybody. It just means E for explicit.
It's definitely not E for everybody. It should be. I mean, really. It's definitely not E for everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is not a game.
Oh. This is real shit right here.
Of Thrones.
Yeah. I started rewatching again last night, by the way.
Yeah,
not season four. Like I had stopped halfway. Yeah, well, I have it on iTunes. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Fuck you.
You and your digital.
And
world.
I have it on Amazon Instant Video too. I just don't know how to watch that other than on my iPad or streaming to my Apple TV. Is that on like Xbox or anything like that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on PlayStation, right?
It's on PlayStation. Yeah. I think that it is. Yeah, I believe it is also on your because I used it on my Xbox 360.
So, okay, so it's got to be on the one then. Yeah. Okay. Or I can switch over to 360 and watch it there too. Anyways. I didn't forget a lot about being the books, obviously, but I forgot about how much was in the show that I forgot about. That was cool. But then, like, it goes back to the thing we were talking about before where for the show, obviously they change a lot of things. They leave some things out, but they combine certain characters.
It's been a while since I've seen the show.
So, like, and you'll see it in season four when you watch it.
Yeah.
A couple things that happen. But one of the big ones, this is a spoiler, during the Red Wedding, we were talking about last night, because I'm about to get to that part in the show, and I just finished that part in the books. During the Red Wedding, that's when Rob and his new wife, Jane, are murdered by the Freys and the...
Boltons, but yeah.
On behalf of the Lannisters, because none of the Lannisters are there, because otherwise I'd give it away. What are Lannisters here? We're at war with them. That'd be fucking weird.
Ha ha, this is suspicious.
Ha ha. So, they, you know, obviously they get murdered. Rob, his wife, his mother. But in the show, they specifically, what gives it away right before it happens is Roose Bolton reaches for a dagger. And you've already seen this. So I'm not ruining it for you.
No, yeah. Plus, I've already read it.
Yeah. He reaches for a dagger and tries to hide it under his hand, and Catelyn sees that he has chainmail under his sleeve, and she goes, "What?" And then that's when it goes, and the musicians pop out crossbows and start fucking. They lace fucking Jane in the stomach with a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, Rob, and the guy comes up and stabs her with the thing. In the books, and then Catelyn gets basically Roose Bolton walks behind her. Who is supposed to be a Stark man, like one of the like high up, like he's one of the most trusted
one of their
people.
Bannermen, yeah.
Like he took Harrenhal for him, like all this stuff. His kid went, or his bastard son went and took Winterfell back from the
Greyjoy.
But in the book, it's just some guy grabs her. Like, they don't say who it is. Some guy grabs her. And again, they may go into detail later, but they haven't yet. And just slits her throat.
Mm-hmm.
In the show, it's Roose Bolton. And I thought that was, like, a huge thing in the show. Like, Roose Bolton, dude, that was, like...
Because it really showed the turn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, not only the phrase, make this happen, with, like, bring all of them there. But then you realize that in the show, they don't even talk about it, where they make the new Lord Tully their prisoner at the Twins. Because it's during his wedding. That's where the Red Wedding comes from.
Yeah, they didn't mention that at all. Or they could mention it in season four, obviously. I haven't watched it yet.
Well, they don't. Because that's the big thing about what was happening is the reason it was called the Red Wedding is wasn't because Rob's getting married. Because in the book, Jane's not even there.
No.
It's just Rob and his mom and all of his bannermen who just get fucking murdered. Murdered. But I thought that was interesting. But one of the things they got almost completely correct, except for who was there, how many people were there, was the men without men without banners. The guys who that pray to the Lord of Light.
Okay.
The guy that fights the Hound, and then the Hound wins. And
That's Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah, Beric Dondarrion. Like, that part's the only part that, like, is almost exactly from the book.
Yeah.
Because he gets split, like, hardcore right down through the collarbone, like, through his flaming sword and stuff.
And he gets up, and he's like, I'm okay!
He's okay. Like, yeah, I was like, ugh. Yeah, so that was almost exactly the same. But the part I was talking about where they combine people is... Lim Lemoncoat and Tom Sevenstrings, and are very prominent in that the band of outlaws that capture Arya in the Hound and bring him back to the Lord, the Man Without Banners. And in the show, Lim Lemoncoat and Tom Sevenstrings don't even exist. It's all just Red Priest.
Yeah,
Who brings Arya back, and then they run into the guys who have the Hound. I was like, what's weird because. There's a lot of story behind. Like, there's a lot of story they miss with that because they take them out. You don't have to have it. Like, the whole thing with the inn with Jamie and Brienne, whatever you want to call her.
Depending the books on how,
and the show.
I know. Right?
Really fucking tripping me up. When they first land with Jamie's cousin, they run into that motel that's been taken over. And then right after...
then they get the boat and they go down the river.
No, they come on the boat. Then they take the horses.
Oh, right.
And that's when Arya, Hot Pie, and Gendry show up. Hot Pie stays there.
Yeah.
Which they kind of do in the show, but differently. Mm. But I thought it was interesting the way they combine it through. And the reason I brought this up, is the big news that George R.R. Martin said in his last interview that just happened... That not only he almost finished with both the last two books, so 6 and 7, they're 1,500 pages each, which is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Especially if you think about the way he actually writes these up on, which is an old word processor,
yeah.
But then you got to go back and you got to look that like that's just a lot of writing in general, like 1,500 pages each.
Well, that's how book 3 and 4 came about, right? Because they originally were the same.
What's that, Mike?
For context, for 1,500 page book, I'm looking at a very normal size book of Dexter, the double Dexter.
Yeah, second to last one.
337 pages.
Yeah.
So imagine that. So his book, if it's in that font, that thing is three times the thickness of that book.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, a little less because that's 300 something, but you know what I mean.
But that's why he split book 3 and book 4 up. It was originally supposed to be one book. All those characters were supposed to, well, not characters, but the stories were supposed to, you know, go in between each other like he normally does. Well,
I thought he split 4 and 5.
Or sorry, 4 and, is it?
It's 4 and 5, because 4 and 5 go together.
Because I just finished 4, 4 and 5.
I was like, no, wait, that's not right.
Which was absolutely horrible, because I literally just finished 4 and 5, and I will say I accidentally finished the book, because on the Kindle it said I had like 50 pages left, and I knew Samwell was the last chapter of the book, and I was somewhere in Samwell's chapter, and I was like, oh, I'll just read like, you know, 10 more pages for the night, and then, you know, awful. I'll go to bed. Fucking like 5 pages later it ended. I was like, what the fuck? And then it goes into this like 3 or 4 page
it's the epilogue.
Epilogue,
yeah.
But it's not an epilogue. It's him saying, describing that book 4 and 5 were supposed to be one, but it got too long. So he decided to split it up. And he says, you know, don't worry, readers. You know, there you'll see Daenerys and Jon and all those characters that you love in the next book. And I was like, God damn it. And then, because...
Probably should that put it at the beginning of the book so people finish that book.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you people halfway through, like, I don't like any of this because it's all the shitty characters.
It really... I mean, there are some interesting
Davos is the worst fucking person to hear a narrative from ever, by the way.
Which is going to be weird because I'm pretty sure, if I recall right, they make mention of him being killed in the fourth book, but he has chapters in the fifth book.
Well, they do coincide, so...
Right, so...
Whatever you hear happened in four actually plays out in five.
Right. Mm. And it's all fallout from him taking that kid.
Oh, taking Edric Storm?
Yeah, Edric Storm away from Stannis.
Well, taking really not from Stannis, really from fucking What's-Her-Balls.
The Red Priest. Yeah, the Red Priestess. Yeah.
She's a fucking cunt bag anyways.
And
the way he does her voice terrifies me, because it sounds like a drag queen.
Oh, I know, right?
Because it's super deep and like super gravelly.
And what we're talking about is Roy Dotrice, who does the audiobooks, which is what I want to mention as well when I reached the end of the books, because book 1, 2, and 3, I did just straight audiobook. So it was just Roy Dotrice. For the fourth book, I actually bought the Kindle book plus the audiobook, which is awesome. I just want to say that the WhisperSync technology that Amazon implements is phenomenal. But I get to the end of the book, and I'm like, what are all these pages after it? Holy shit, it's the description of every character in the book and like their lineage and shit. And I'm like, god damn, it was just page after page after page of like House Stark, House Lannister, House Targaryen. And then
was it just, printed wiki?
Yeah, it pretty much was. And then, of course, like Amazon always does, they include the first chapter of the next book in their
little bit of free taste there. So you come back
exactly. Except
if Amazon's drug dealers.
It's literally like, you know, how long is a normal chapter of his? It's like 50, 60 pages.
Oh, so it was the prologue from the first book. That makes sense. Oh, good lord! Like the prologue for fucking book 3. It's like 1 hour and 15 minutes long.
Yeah,
you listen to it.
Yeah,
it's like a fucking movie, man. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's dope.
But it was awesome. And book 4 wasn't that bad. It has some interesting parts to it, especially when you get later into Brienne as Dotrice.
Brienne of Tarth or Brienne, or what do they say in the show?
Brienne. They call her Brienne of Tarth in the show, Brienne in the book.
Or Wench.
Or Wench,
if
yeah.
If you listen to Jamie's half.
There is one part, and I can't exactly remember it right now. It's the first time I've ever actually laughed like while listening to any audiobook that I've ever actually listened to. And it's Jamie making a joke at his sister's expense.
Towards cuntbag.
And he's slowly starting to realize it in book 4. He's slowly starting to realize like how just of a shitty person she is.
The pussy's wearing off, because god damn it, she's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, dude, when I knew it was going to happen because I saw the show before I read the books, but when they slit Catelyn's throat in the book, I was like, thank fucking God. Because in the show, you feel bad for her.
A bit.
In the books, she's fucking awful.
She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. And there's a scene, what confused me a lot, speaking of differences in it, there's a scene in season 3 when Jaime, who's Rob's new wife, the new queen of the North, is talking to Catelyn Stark about about Jon Snow, and she has this monologue. She goes about how she tried to love Jon Snow, and I was like, apparently the people who wrote this did not read the books, because she fucking hates Jon Snow.
Yeah,
like hates Jon Snow, because there's a part when they're going on their way to what is going to be the Red Wedding at the Twins, where Rob wants to basically pull him out of the
Night's
Watch, and basically make him a Stark. Mm-hmm. So basically take away him being a bastard, and so he will have a rightful heir that's not his sister's, because Rickon at this point everyone thinks. Rickon and Brandon are dead.
Right, and that's how everybody's supposed to know it.
Exactly. Because you always think, you forget, you hear their narrative, and you see them in the show, so you're like, they're
still alive. You know,
but they're like, everyone except for Samwise Tarly, knows that they're still alive. Well, he knows Brandon's still alive. He doesn't know about Rickon because they don't run into Rickon because Rickon's already off with what's her name, Usla or whatever.
I thought they were all together.
No, not at that point. It's because when they get to the part where they're on the wall, it's just Hodor, Jojen, Mirin, and Brandon. Rickon and Usla are headed off to their...
is that from the show or is that from the
book? No, it's from both.
Because I could have swore that. I don't remember.
Because in
that
the show, they're up until the part... So the part with the show, it's the windmill, and the book, it's the tower on the island.
Right.
There, Rickon's already gone, has already been like taken away in the book, but in the show, he's still with them. Because they have both direwolves that are there when they basically save Jon
From the wildlings. Yeah.
And it's funny because they're right outside the tower.
Yeah.
In the show, but in the book, they're across the lake.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to use the causeway to get to, but you can't see it because it's part of it's in underwater.
Yeah.
But Rickon and Shaggy Dog are gone at that point. It's just the four of them with Summer.
I must have forgot about that part. Yeah. Okay.
But it's funny because that's when they meet Samwell.
Mm-hmm.
He takes him to the Black Gate, which is funny because Castle Black has a black gate, but it's not the same one because it's in a different one.
Yeah.
But and then they meet Cold Hands and blah blah blah, which is completely skipped over in the book, or in the show. I mean.
In the show, because yeah they, like you said last night, it'd been gnarly to see a 10-foot elk.
10-foot fucking elk. Imagine a fucking 10-foot elk, not including the fucking antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, that's a big fucking elk.
Too much money.
Because like you think of it, an elk's gonna ride away with that fat fuck Sam, Gilly the baby, and Cold Hands all in the back. Elks are big.
Mm-hmm.
This one has to be pretty big, and it is 10 feet tall. I was like, holy shit, that's a big elk. That's not hard to miss. Hey, what's that? Why is that tree moving? Why are those four trees move? Oh, that's an elk. So, all right. So yeah, I just wanted to talk to Joe about that because no one else I know reads the books except for Joe.
Yeah.
Mike's dumb.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll kind of go over our homework from last week. But
you want me to go first?
Yeah, we'll have Mike go first. It'll be quick. Mike, what didn't you watch?
Yeah, I didn't do it. Yeah, so
yep. Joe?
Have you seen it before, though?
Yeah, a long, long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
So the
movie you were supposed to watch is Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah, so in it, do you remember who they're going to meet up with at the end of the book? No. Right in the movie?
No.
A dolphin.
Was it a book?
Was a book, too, yeah. It's way fucking different.
Oh, I'd imagine, I mean...
It's the book's called Johnny 2.0, I think, something like that.
Okay. Book was better.
Fuck off. You didn't even read that either. It's only like 280 pages, so it's pretty easy to read. But way fucking different. He knows fucking... He's a goddamn ninja in it, like Matrix style. Plugs in. No, he has like these little chips that he plugs into himself, and he knows fucking karate or knows how to drive cars and helicopters by plugging the chips in. It's fucking dope.
It's been a while since I've seen Johnny Mnemonic. I remember it actually being a movie that I did like of Keanu Reeves. And I also remember it being a movie of Keanu Reeves that not many people liked.
Yeah, because it's super weird. It's one of those things because it's sci-fi. Like, if it's not super easy to understand, people are going to be like, yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like...
But he was
based... Not misunderstand like Jupiter's Legacy or Jupiter's Ascending.
Jupiter's, yeah.
Like that, not that way, just because no one can follow what's going on because no one knows what they're saying. And talking about, but because it's like super high techy and like, I don't get why gigabytes, which is funny because like he overloads his mind with like 8 gigabytes of stuff. And I was like, well,
that's not a lot.
At the time.
Yeah, I was like, at the time, that's all fucking right. Huge because most computers had like 10 gig hard drives.
Oh, I remember those. I had a 10.3 gigabyte hard drive.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants.
Know, right? Yeah.
Oh, my parents are rich. We're Canadian. Fuck off.
We could afford Packard Bell.
Yeah. So, Mike, we're disappointed in you. Understood. Thanks for. Not watching anything with Keanu Reeves. Like anything. You could watch anything with Keanu Reeves.
I watched Speed before. Matrix. I've seen a lot of Keanu Reeves movies.
Yeah, so have I.
Did watch John Wick recently.
That's true.
Doesn't count.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is. Anyway,
but yeah, go watch John Wick is...
Is what we're trying to get at.
Yeah.
It's all a big ploy to promote John Wick.
Yes.
Yep.
We have stake in it.
We don't.
We don't.
Because they already greenlit a fucking sequel, so I don't give a fuck.
Thanks to us.
Yeah.
We were part of the glowing reviews from a preview screening. So
when you get a review,
oh, that's right, we were.
John Wick kills more people than John McClane in all Die Hard movies. And it's not a lie. Boom. There you go. That's a fun little skis.
Drop the mic.
If he'd have a, if he had like a true black partner, though, I'd be like, oh, dang. Oh, dang. John, what?
Hmm.
The sequel is
what do you want to see in a sequel? If there's one thing.
More death?
Yeah.
But like one specific thing, like a certain style fight scene.
I want to see the opposite. I want to see people coming after him and him fighting his way out of people. I don't want him to die at the end. I mean, I'm surprised he fucking walked away or limped away.
Yeah.
Stapled himself up.
Spoiler alert. Limped away like he did because he was in rough shape. And that's not a reference to the dog that he stole, but rough
shape. That was so sad.
Oh, the fucking dog, dude. I swear to God. Oh,
every time I watch the movie, I'm like, maybe the dog's going to live this time. And no, it never lives.
Dude, man. The worst part, bro. Like, I get it. He kicks the dog and you hear it whimper. But then when he wakes up and the dog had drug its broken body
and you
over,
see a line of,
you see like the line of like, the blood, like the paw prints, and he's like right next to him and he goes to reach for him and he realizes he's dead. I was like, why are my allergies kicking in? Yeah, where's this fucking hay coming from?
Every time that part comes on, it's weird. Somebody starts chopping up onions next to me and I'm like, what are you doing with those onions, man?
We don't need this much chopped up onions.
Yeah. Hey, you don't even like onions. Stop chopping up the onions.
It's a movie theater. Stop it.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, there was not a dry fucking eye in that preview screening when we saw it either.
I would like to see. I know the car scene was pretty unique and different. John Wick.
The car foo scene.
Yeah.
And he hits Dennis with the fucking car.
I would like to see a cool actual chase this time. Just because I think those directors.
With like SUVs and vans and speedy cars and a helicopter or two and motorcycles.
Yeah.
Mainly because I want to see a motorcycle guy hit the back of a fucking car at a high speed or the front of a speeding car because those are the best, dude. When they fucking hit him, just ga ga ga, the cartwheels in the air. And you're like, that stuntman's dead. They killed a stuntman for this. I like it.
No animals were hurt in the filming of this movie.
But there several were, like, stuntmen. Several
stuntmen, though.
We're sorry.
And one stunt child.
Oh. Don't worry. It wasn't really a child. It was a small woman.
Oh, okay. That makes it better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my assignment this week. Joe, yours?
Yeah.
I had A Scanner Darkly.
You did?
I was totally confused by that movie. Be. Like, and I shouldn't say by the whole movie. Like, I understood the little bits and parts of it. Keanu Reeves plays an undercover detective who is undercover for a new drug called Substance D. And slowly over time, he just basically loses his shit. Like, he goes from...
It's hard to get. Sorry, go ahead.
It's not hard to get at all.
Dick!
But he goes from, like, having a family and everything and being, you know, this stereotypical dad to slowly just, like, losing himself in this world because he just woke up hit his head on a cabinet one day and just realized that it's nothing that he wanted. Everything was predictable and he wanted more unpredictability and just interesting things to happen to him in his life.
Pause.
Okay.
So basically, kids, if you are going to hit your head on a cabinet, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to find out your life is really boring or you're going to invent time travel.
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad you guys got that.
That's good.
Flux capacitor. Go ahead, go. And unpause.
So it doesn't really explain how he gets there. You find out that he had a family. That's his revelation that he came to. And suddenly now he's roommates with Woody Harrelson and Robert Downey Jr. And then I can't remember the chick's name.
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder, yeah. And they're all druggies. And somehow he's still an undercover cop. And that's where I started kind of losing it because you would have these whole scenes of like that would remind me of like Pineapple Express or Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas where they're just drugged out and they're doing stupid shit. And I realize that it's supposed to be a dark comedy and some of the stuff is kind of funny, but the other stuff is like, where the fuck is this going? Like, I don't get it. They're driving down the freeway and suddenly the accelerator in the car just gives out and they're speeding down the freeway now, weaving in and out of traffic until Woody Harrelson's character turns off the car and they pull over and they find out that the some part of the accelerator was tampered with. And then they just start freaking out about that. And it was just like, you kind of get to the part where you think it's Robert Downey Jr.'s character that's kind of fucking stuff up, because he's fucking crazy in this movie.
Yep.
I should mention acting for everybody that was in it, phenomenal. I mean, like, it was a really well acted movie.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. amazing as this just this crazy degenerate, drugged out
weirdo.
Weirdo. But then slowly, what happens in the overarching story, Keanu Reeves' character, who by the way, they have that awesome cloaking.
That fucking suit's bad, right?
Yeah. That just, like, slowly it morphs between different faces and bodies and stuff, so you don't know who you're actually talking to. Awesome. And it changes the voice as well, so you never know exactly. The idea is you're not supposed to know who these people are when they're at their job.
Yeah.
That way, when they're in their job, they can just be who they look like.
So when you're walking around the police station, they can't say, like, that dude looks like the guy
and
that...
It's fucking trippy because all of these undercover agents that are within this police facility are all wearing these suits. And so it's literally just like nobody talking to nobody in like a cafeteria or something.
Yep.
But then slowly, Keanu Reeves' character is put in charge of actually watching himself, like his undercover self, because they think his undercover, the police department thinks his undercover self is a big part of some drug organization. And so it's really weird that, and even he's kind of tripping out, because he has actually been taking substance D. And the weird thing is that the police department knows that he's taking substance D. They're like, they even send him to like psych evaluation to see how bad he is. Yet they still put him in charge of watching himself. Yeah. Which eventually the commissioner of the undercover police squad is like, yeah, we knew all along. We were really just trying to get this guy, the Robert Downey Jr.'s character. That's what the whole movie was about. It was an undercover sting to put Keanu Reeves' character in there to wig out. Like, they knew that how much drugs that Keanu Reeves' character was taking. They were completely okay with it because they were just trying to get Robert Downey Jr.'s character to become extremely paranoid and inform that. Then that's another part where I start breaking down, like, why the fuck were they really going after him? Do you know, Cody?
So basically, they believe that Robert Downey Jr.'s character is someone who can lead them to the suppliers of the drugs.
Okay.
So they're trying to get Keanu Reeves' character, the cop, to use his undercover, before they start investigating, because they obviously don't realize who he is.
Yeah.
To investigate him. That's why he lives with them.
Right.
Befriends him and tries to get him to lead them to the main guy. But then Keanu Reeves finds out that he's a nobody. He talks a bunch of shit and just knows people who can get him hooked up with drugs. But because he's where everyone goes to, he's always getting people calling him or talking to him, that they think that he is really close to the man in charge.
Okay.
That's basically what happens.
That makes a little bit more sense. And then I had to actually read about the ending to understand it, because in the end, Keanu Reeves' character, like I said, the police department knew about all the drugs that he was taking, and they basically said, hey, look, you're either going to get fined or fined and a slap on the wrist. Basically, you'd go to jail for a little while. So he gets put in. As I'm watching the movie, he gets put in jail, or not jail, but he gets sent to a rehabilitation clinic. And then at some point, that rehabilitation clinic sends him to a farm, essentially, to tend to what it looked like they were growing corn.
Yeah, detox.
But then, yeah, for detox. And then he finds these blue flowers that are actually growing inside the cornfield. And I realized from the movie that the flowers are the drug, because that's what they specifically said, is that these certain flowers are where the drug comes from, where substance D comes from. I didn't realize, though, that the rehabilitation clinic, I can't remember. Oh, New Path is the company that they're the rehabilitation clinic, and they're the actual the producers of the drug.
Yeah, and so the best part is the drug is actually actually a pharmaceutical after it's cut to mm-hmm. help with things like depression and all that fun stuff. It's like a wonder drug, but before it's cut, it's Substance D and it's fucked up. Super high, and like that's why everyone's really happy. Well, except for Robert Downey Jr. is super paranoid, and then so is I can't remember the guy's name. I always call him Rory because that's what he played in CSI Miami.
Yeah, it's the I know what you're talking about. They start the movie off right with him, and he's like scratching himself because he's got all these fucking bugs crawling over him, which was just a disturbing way to start the movie. And absolutely, you know, Keanu Reeves' character actually goes over the deep end at one point because he's sitting there. On his couch with Robert Downey Jr. and Woody Harrelson, and slowly Woody Harrelson starts turning into a giant bug, and then he looks over at Robert Downey Jr. and he's just a giant bug as well, and they're just like smoking doobies and stuff on the couch. I was like, God, that is just creepy as hell. I should make mention of one of the biggest attributes of the movie is the weird cell shaded cartoonish type of
the animation
that they did for it. First off, phenomenal, because it you still see like the actual movie underneath it. You still see like all the detail and everything underneath it, and the acting and performance is actually just, for me, it feels like I'm watching a comic book, and I think that's I would hope that's where they were kind of going for.
Yep.
Especially where they get into like the word bubbles.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Was fucking nuts, gnarly, right? The first time I saw one,
because stuff is spelled wrong in them, and like there's different words. Oh, it's awesome!
Yeah, the waitress that's taking off her shirt as he's ordering food.
When you realize it's actually not really happening, obviously. Yeah, but like, yeah. You're just like, that's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
I want some of this, and then you don't because it's awful. No, like, you don't want it. You don't.
But no, it just added to the movie. And I remember when the movie came out, critics and people were concerned about the movie because it looked so different, but I think it honestly added to the movie.
Yeah.
So all in all, besides, I mean, if I sat through it again, especially kind of in, I watched it in the morning before going to school, so I was in a little bit of a rush, and so I know I missed a little bit of it, and that's probably what added to a little bit of the confusion of it. So if I sat through it again, I'm sure I would understand it much more. But I actually really enjoyed it. It was actually a really good movie.
All right, so a couple things. First off, like you're saying, animation and special effects are fantastic. A
mm-hmm.
Couple little trivia things for you. Did you see the vomit part I was telling you about, though, when he threw up and you see a little shit, like all the shapes and stuff in it?
No,
like
I didn't.
Cowboy boots and like there's a snowman and there's candy cane and a little girl and all. So it's really funny. So if you slow-mo it, it's really funny. But couple other things. So whenever one of the people is wearing the cloaking suit, which I can't remember what they call it, something, I don't remember what it's called. Anyways, when they're wearing the device... to hide their identity, whenever you see them switching through people, it's a cool thing. Those are actually people who worked on the movie. So that's cast and crew. That's crew that actually ran the movie.
Oh, that is cool.
It's the animated versions of them.
There was one that, to me, it honestly looked like they snuck in a couple of like actors and stuff. Yeah. Like I could have swore that I saw...
like Willem Dafoe shows up at one point, a couple other people too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
But it's like so fleeting. It's like...
Because faces change and then bodies change and part of a face changes. But yeah, that's actually people who worked on the crew of the movie, people working in the special effects place and stuff like that. But one of the cool things, the reason it's animated the way it is, it needed a higher budget than what they could actually do in real and with real just regular people. But overlaying this animation gave them the ability to add in special effects like the cloaking suit that would be too costly to do in real life.
And I'd imagine the bugs as well.
Yeah, the bugs, things like that. But it then gave it that the aesthetics of is this how much of this is real and how much is it drug induced?
Right.
Because you never really know. Because at one point someone's talking, a word bubble comes up and it's saying something completely different, and then you realize it's what someone's about to say to them, and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
That's what, by the end of the movie, I was sitting there going, is this, like, all a trip? Like,
that's
I don't...
fucking weird, right?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. But what's cool is, like, for example, when I went to the Comic-Con panel when this first came out, before the movie came out, we watched it there, too, but they talked about it. So the car they drive in looks nothing like what you see on the screen.
Oh, really?
It's a really nice car they made look shitty with the overlay animation.
Okay.
Because it's more expensive to find a piece of shit car that will run constantly for the different shots they need for the interior, exterior, all these different things. So they actually shot with a nice car that they rent, like normal movies do, and then animated it to look shitty, like the busted seats and the missing headrests. That's not actually, those are actually there. Like, the things are there they took out with the animation. So instead of adding stuff in with animation, they actually took stuff out too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like the fact that the rear passenger door is a different color.
Yeah.
And it's not. In the real shooting, they showed like them shooting it, and it's like a normal car. It looks nothing like the car they actually animated in.
That's
cool. It was really interesting. But yeah, it's really cool. It's a small, and I was gonna look it up, but I couldn't right now. But it's a small animation studio, production studio out of like Dallas, Texas, that did it when they shot the entire movie in San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah. Super dope. I was like, that's awesome. But yeah, it was pretty fun. So, cool.
What was your movie?
I watched Much Ado About Nothing. I forgot how much I love this movie. Like, when I was younger, I was very big. I was very into Shakespeare and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This is obviously a direct... This is an adaptation of a Shakespeare play. Done, obviously, more modern. Not as modern. It takes place, like, in San Juan. But they call them Senor and Senores. But it's Kenneth Branagh directed it and wrote it. Or adapted it for the screen. He also starred in it. Had Denzel Washington. Keanu Reeves, obviously, the reason why I watch it. Dr. House's friend from House. You remember his name?
It was Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. So Wilson,
I don't remember the actor's name, yeah.
Yeah, I can look it up. I'm not going to.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Sure. Let's see. Robert Sean Leonard. What I forgot, and the reason that Mike might want to watch this at some point, is one of the best performances by Michael Keaton, and I forgot about it. He plays Constable Dogberry, who's the basic cop. Him and his partner... who he's always abusing and never really speaks to people. He always kind of speaks through Michael Keaton. Are insane. They gallop around on invisible horses because it's done like a stage play, but like in real life. So there's not a lot of like back and forth shots or long continuous shots in it. So like you would like if you're watching a play, you're watching it live. So there's no cuts really other than between scenes. So there's a lot of like continuous things, but like. They have big, drawn-out shots where people are dancing and singing and things like that. But then you have these two who are supposed to like be on horses, but in a play they wouldn't have horses, so they are acting like they're on horses. They gallop away like, oh, it's fucking hilarious. But they told him to act like Beetlejuice.
Oh.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So he's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Fucking crazy on a horse.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great movie if you like Shakespeare, for sure. Because it's not one of those ones where they took it. They speak like they do in Shakespeare.
Oh, so it's the thousand and stuff like that. Okay, wow.
But the way he wrote it is because they based it in Spanish America. Latin America. Spanish America. That doesn't exist. Latin America. They substituted in words like senor and stuff like that. And like he's a don, and like it's interesting, but yeah, it's really good. I like that movie a lot, and it goes towards the exact same thing. Keanu Reeves plays the bad guy, plays Don Juan, who's the half brother of the prince, who was played by Denzel Washington. So somehow Keanu Reeves is half black.
Yeah,
so that makes him half black, half Canadian. That's my friend John Duncan's, by the way. Half black, half Canadian. It's the weirdest combo ever, because he has the facial features of a black person, but he's white. Yep, it's fantastic. So hi John. But yeah, like it's really cool because it's Kenneth Branagh's second Shakespeare movie or production he did. His first one was Henry V, which was his first directorial debut, and then he made this.
I can honestly say I haven't seen this movie.
Oh, it's awesome. Plus, Much Ado About Anything is, or Much About blah, blah,
Much
blah,
Ado About
Nothing. Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite Shakespeare ones because it's a comedy, but it has elements of drama in it too. So kind of fun that way. But cool. Yeah. Boom. So that was our assignments. Well, at least two of the three because someone didn't do theirs, whose idea it was. Did we actually come up with our top five Keanu Reeves movies, or did we not do that either?
It's difficult.
No.
I mean,
so
I, no. The answer is semi yes.
I'll
because
just delete my list. Then.
Go ahead. Because for every time we do these top fives for me, it's always like, you know, no particular order.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We don't have to It's fine. It's okay.
We could just rattle off stuff. No, what's yours?
No, it's fine. Go. Yeah. You don't have to do it.
No, we're going to do it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What was your favorite top five, Mike?
My favorite top five?
Your favorite top five. We're going to do top five top fives.
High Fidelity. I haven't seen that Chris Rock movie yet. No, that's all I can think of.
Ah, you suck at this. No, so what would be your top five Keanu Reeves movies, Mike?
John Wick. The Matrix. Bill and Ted.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Fuck, I had it too. I actually did it. Go. You go.
So copy and paste those ones.
You're awful. You're an awful human being.
No, I'm not.
So Speed would be four.
Speed's good.
Yeah, it was. It was Speed and Point Break.
Point Break, yeah.
I don't know why I spaced on those, but those are my top five.
I'm trying to think of any different ones that I might like more.
Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of if I like it more. I think I like it more in Speed, yeah.
Well, you have to put Constantine in there.
Oh, yeah, Constantine, definitely. So that bumps
seven.
No. That'll bump Speed off the list, and also... What was the first three that you said, Mike?
John Wick,
The Matrix,
and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And that bumps The Matrix off.
Fair enough.
So what's yours, Cody?
I'm not doing it.
So we're just gonna copy and paste my responses with a combination of Mike's responses, and that's Cody's responses.
I know Joe probably didn't see it, but Mike, did you see the subtitle of the episode for last week that I made?
Yeah. Pretty funny.
That's pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie.
What was it?
Ooh, receipt from iTunes. Thanks, iTunes. Let me read it verbatim real quick here.
That means word for word.
Yep.
Joe. You dumb son of a bitch.
You dumb son of a bitch. So I don't really know where they... I mean, I think they show up on iTunes as well. But... on the hosting site that I put everything up on, when it comes up, it gives you a thing for like a subtitle. So I always name the episode, whatever it is. Comes with, I can't name this one. The last week's episode, Keanu Reeves Goes to Space, mainly because I couldn't think of anything else. But we started with Keanu Reeves and went to space, so that's where it came from. Boom. But then I thought of a really funny thing to do would be like name a third Bill and Ted's movie. And I didn't have you guys here with me, so I had to come up by myself. So I came up with Bill and Ted's Spectacular Space Exploit.
That's good.
I like that one. I was like, yeah. Oh, proud of myself. Alliteration and shits.
And shit.
So that was pretty funny. Pretty funny. And did we talk about how Keanu Reeves is a vampire? Like he looks exactly the same in most of his movies? Other than Bill and Ted's, because I'm pretty sure he turned into a vampire sometime after Bogus Journey. I think it was around the
time
he did.
Unless he actually died in Bogus Journey.
I mean, he's not a zombie.
No, he's not a zombie, but he's like, come back from the
maybe. Game. Because basically from Speed on, he looks exactly the same, without the beard.
Yeah, that's why he keeps shaving the beard and growing it out, growing his hair
so
out.
So people can be like, oh, he looks exactly, oh, nope, he looks older now because he's got a beard. Because I swear to God, dude, type in a picture of him as Don Juan from Much Ado About Nothing. And then look at him in John Wick. I swear to God, dude, it's the same fucking
dude.
Just
with shorter hair. That's it.
No, he does look exactly the same. And there was a list I saw somewhere of
fucking creepy.
Of, like, actors that just don't seem like they age.
No, it's because there's a league of fucking vampires out there.
It's like our story.
It is.
Speaking of which, do you ever listen to the short podcast you did with Nerdist?
The Keanu Reeves one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted more.
Oh, dude, he was so good. Like, he has to get him back on because they only had him for, like, what, 25 minutes of
actual
interview time?
Yeah, because it was during press for John Wick.
He was so funny, though. He talked about wanting to do a musical. and like a crazy berserker action film.
Yeah, which, I mean,
he kind
of
did.
No, but he even said, like, I want to punch somebody's heart out of their chest. Like, okay, I'll buy that movie.
All right.
He's in the next Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, my God, I'd watch that. He could play Johnny Cage.
Right?
He is Johnny Cage, basically.
That rips the heart out. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Johnny Cage the one that did the...
I don't remember which one. No, it was it Scorpion that ripped the cage? No, Scorpion had the
He ripped your head off with your spine.
Yeah.
No, but who's the one? Was Johnny Cage the one that did that? He turned into the dragon and bit the guy in half?
No, that was Liu Kang.
Was that one of Liu Kang's, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck was his?
Yeah, what was Johnny Cage?
Oh, he did the ball breaker one where he did the splits and punched in the nuts.
Oh, yeah, because he was modeled after Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was another one he had from Mortal Kombat 2 that was crazy. I don't remember what it was. Someone will remind me what it is and make me feel like an asshole.
Yeah. As you should.
Yeah. That's a lot, dick.
Huge.
You real quick want to go over the big news?
Which one? Oh, the one from today?
Yeah.
So it is officially official that Neil Blomkamp is doing an Aliens movie. His next movie will be an Alien movie.
And not just franchise. Like, you know, it's a movie about an alien. No, it's fucking within the Aliens franchise. Yep. It comes from those leaked photographs.
They're going to call it Alien 3.
Which would be amazing. Yeah. I would be fine with
it.
Well,
the thing is, like, at the end of the article,
bring back,
because the article I first read about it, which is from Ain't It Cool News, because it was actually broken on Twitter, one thing, because Instagram? Or was it Twitter?
I saw it on Twitter. Because it was on his...
Is it on his Twitter page?
Yeah, he slowly posted the pictures on his Twitter page.
No, from today.
Oh, from today. I have no clue. I'm learning this from you guys because I had school today.
Probably click on it right here in front of me.
Probably could.
But anyways, so he posted a picture. It was from his Instagram. On his Instagram of another one of his concept of one of the Xenomorphs, which looks fucking gnarly. It says, the caption he put is, so I think it's officially my next film, #Alien. And then Variety confirmed it that it is going to be his next film after he finishes up with everything with Chappie from the post stuff that he's doing with all the press and all that fun stuff, because Chappie comes out in a couple weeks.
There's one thing I want to know, which I'd have to go back through our episodes to find out. Did I ask for this? Because I'm pretty sure at one point before all this came out, we'd always done the, you know, who would you want to do?
You wanted him to do, was it a Mass Effect movie?
Yeah.
Was it a Mass Effect movie?
I think so. Or was it Stargate? I know you wanted Stargate movies.
Well, the Stargate movies...
But you
movies,
said Neil Blomkamp for something. I wanted them to come back. Mass Effect. I think you wanted him to do a Mass Effect movie.
Okay.
I think. It's one of our first episodes.
Because if we called this
again... I
think it
was the first episode, right?
It might have been.
Well, the first episode I remember was the Stargate episode. We did this...
The favorites.
Yeah.
Or no, not favorites. We did... wish list, right?
Yeah, because I wanted them to go back, because it would have to be Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich to go back and do those, because
yeah,
the original three, but that's what I'm saying, we called it before it even happened, and I want to say that we called this one as well.
Was it the one where we did, I asked you guys, when I think it was Adam's here, we did the, if you could pick any franchise or any property to remake?
Yeah.
So I think it was that one, you did say an Alien movie with... But I think it was after the fact, though. I remember.
You wanted a Mass Effect one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why we'd have to go back. That's why I should take notes.
Well, once he does Aliens, he can go do Mass Effect.
Fine. All I'm saying is if we predict this stuff, we should get some credit for it.
So the first one's called Alien. The second one's called Aliens. You can't call it Aliens 3 because we already had that. Or is it Alien 3 or Aliens 3?
They can just ignore it.
It's Alien 3 because there's only one Alien.
Yeah, but it's the third one.
They can ignore it. They do that shit all the time.
No, what I'm saying is instead of calling it Alien 3, do you call it Aliens? Or do you call it more Aliens?
With an apostrophe?
Or do you call it Aliens Part 2 and really fuck with people? Because they're like, was Aliens Part 2? Wasn't a Part 2. That was its own movie. It just happened to be in the same fucking universe.
It's Alien 3, Attack of the Aliens.
Can you put Paul Reiser back in it?
He's dead as
He's
fuck,
dead as
dude.
Fuck. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't mean he couldn't have a robot.
That would be a weird twist if he. If
what a
they,
twist!
They come out that he was actually a robot the whole time in the first one.
But what I was saying is on.
Right.
On ASCN, Ain't It Cool News, which somehow, even though they're a bunch of dickbags, do get news early. and they don't know how to remove movies. But anyways, they talk about how hopefully it's going to be, we're going to see some of the stuff from his concept movie or his concept art in it. So we'll see an aged Ellen Ripley, and we'll see an acid, like a survived acid burnt Hicks.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
that'd be
fucking dope, right?
I would imagine that at this point, if they're green lighting it,
they're just cash.
That they give him just free reign. Do what you want to do. Because I wouldn't think he would take the money if they didn't. I honestly wouldn't.
I don't want to see that crazy ass fucking space jockey get up she was wearing.
More scary movie or action movie?
Both.
A scary action movie. I would hope.
I do want it to be more like two. I want to be like Aliens, where it had like the action, but it was also very scary. Yeah. Like it wasn't so suspenseful and thrillerish like the first one was, because the first one was like really a thriller.
You should put that little girl in it.
Oh, they find her like she's grown up and like has something to do with the.
She's not doing anything.
No, but I mean,
He's like, no, she's. I haven't seen her in anything since then. Yeah. So.
No, she hasn't done anything.
Like the actress herself, yeah, I don't think she's done anything.
I know, but, like she does cons sometimes. That's it.
It's one of the ones where like it's the Pink Ranger. Yeah, you're like, you look a lot like the Pink Ranger.
I'm not sure. Old.
You're like a vampire, like the Black Ranger, looks exactly the same. Getting man fondled by Darkens.
That's awful. You could put Michael Fassbender in it.
Yeah.
Because at one point he'd be a robot in it, yeah?
He'd be an android, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a robot.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's true.
I just want to fuck with Joe's head for a second.
Right. So, yeah, no, totally. For sure, that's happening. That's fucking dope.
I don't know. I would want to see it to be more, a little bit more like one.
Ooh, conflict of interest here.
Just because.
Settle it the usual way, boys.
I do miss, like, original content like that.
Well, it wouldn't be original content.
But like that is what I'm saying. You know, where it's creepier, it's scarier, and it's more unpredictable because there's just one freaking alien out there. But they could still, like, if I recall right from some of the sketches that he had, it almost seemed like that his thought was taking place on some sort of space station, or like it almost seemed like a habitat or something like that. So
it felt to me like it was like a Weyland what now?
Like a genetics type place where they were
Weyland Yanti like facility somewhere.
Yeah, so
it had the big buildings.
So it kind of has the recollections of resurrection, where you know they were trying to grow these things. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, what if they just introduce it as one, and it gets out, and then you find out there are more. So you end up towards the end of the
different
movie.
Different types.
Yeah. So you end up towards the movie of a
not
more
a
action
Predator one though.
You end up more of an action
worst
movie
fucking
type
combo
thing.
Ever.
So
well,
you would,
bad mashups.
So you would have the beginning, like where I want it more of like the creepy, you know, like the game, actually the Alien game has
Alien
really
Isolation.
Nailed Alien Isolation, and then it just transitions into this, oh fuck.
Okay, so we had some technical difficulties there, but we're back. So Mike, what were you saying about the Alien movie?
Yeah,
I was gonna ask, do you think they have the balls, or is it just too far gone at this point to throw in some Easter eggs about Predators?
I don't want it.
I'm not saying they introduce it, but they just have Easter eggs in it. So if they want to go to it down the road, same dude doing it.
Well,
if it's him, you trust him.
I trust him, and I respect
and
your
I
idea.
Totally watch it.
I respect your idea. If he did a Predators movie, it'd be amazing. I just don't want them in the same universe. I don't. I'm soured by the Alien versus Predator.
No, I get that, because it was awful.
Yeah,
but if anybody could do it properly,
he could.
I'm not saying like after credits scene a Predator comes up. I'm not saying that.
Actually, you mention it, I just see like a little bobblehead on like somebody's desk.
but maybe a couple little subtle hints in the background. Maybe there's
like
you
a
know,
computer
carvings.
Screen that says something
about like this planet. Oh yeah,
yeah.
camera panning.
Dude, like it's just the most throwaway scene ever. You see him like they're being stalked by the one alien in the beginning of the movie, and they're going through like room from room, sliding through, and the lights are all fucked up, and like one of the lights basically like flicker on, and they walk past this room, and you see like a frozen predator. And the lights go off, then just keep going, and they don't make it like any pay attention to it. It'd be amazing.
Or what if like awesome. they're at like a space station and they're loading up their ship, and then in the background another ship they're like carting out a frozen, like they tracked it down.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say like they find bones of like a predator
and a mask. Oh my god.
Dude, they could even be like.
I'm so glad I'm putting this in the universe.
They could even make. I'll be okay with it. They could even make reference to it, like they found it in a jungle somewhere.
I'm saying, right? Dude, like a half blown up fucking predator, like frozen in something, be sick. Just like they don't even have to talk about it. It's just something you see. So if you're paying attention, you see it, and all of a sudden it's fucking gone. You're like,
yeah.
Then the fucking internet just blows up. Like, did you fucking see the predator? It'd be like awesome.
They call it like Subject P.
Ooh. We're good.
We are good.
We are good.
Make this happen, Neil Baumkraff.
Yeah.
In your movie that you're doing.
Yeah, Neil. We're friends now.
Yeah, we are.
We've talked about you on
first name basis.
Yeah, talked about you almost as much as Stealth and Sidekicks, so boom.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment there.
Yeah. Hey, did we just see something online for an Old Man Logan 2?
Old Man Logan number 1.
Oh, okay.
Which is a... written by Brian Michael Bendis, coming out in, was that May? I think it's it.
So
this is for me. I'll pull it up again.
It's a sequel, or is it a prequel?
Says Welcome Back to the Wastelands.
Yeah, the way, because I want to say they announced this not a while ago, or not well, a while ago, but like last, they've been teasing it. Like,
well,
since
yeah,
last
when they
week,
did like the Spider-Man Amazing Spider-Man Wedding, they did the Secret Wars, like it basically coming back and getting all those titles.
And it's supposed to be a sequel to the first one. Or you're supposed to be jumping back into?
That's what everyone thinks, because if you look at the art they showed, it's got all the characters from the first one.
Did it?
Yeah,
because it has Red Skull wearing the Captain America mask. It's got the Venom dinosaur, the Carnage dinosaur, or not Venom, Anti-Venom dinosaur. It's got the it's got Hawkeye. It's got Spider-Girl. It's got Crazy Hillbilly Hulk in the background, and it's got Wolverine popping his claws out with the fucking blood running down his hands. Find it.
But we all know how covers can be a little misleading.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because that's the one they list on here as one of the I think they said it was a variant.
Yeah,
for that one.
So that would make sense.
The one I showed Mike, you kind of saw it, was a lot different. Hold on, it's in here somewhere. Drinking.
I wonder what they would do with it, because I'm trying to remember how the first one ended. He beats up. Well, not beat up. He like really just took apart the Hulk
Hulk
family.
Clan.
Yeah, clan, and he gets the kid.
Mm.
And so would this be like, you know, just after, and it's, you know, still showing the kid, you know, as young, and they're just like fucking up people in the wasteland? Or is it going to be fast forward some time? And, you know, because imagine like a Hulk kid who was trained by Wolverine. That'd be fucked up to begin with.
Yeah.
And it'd be fucking awesome. Number two.
Yeah.
And then he finds out at one point Wolverine killed his whole family. He gets mad about it.
Yeah.
Oh. And they have to go at it?
They have to go at it.
It says May 2015, so, for this.
And then...
which you know is going
to
be pushed back.
Wolverine has to kill his last friend.
And it says... so it says here, and then Brian Michael Bendis is writing it. Andrea Sorrentino is doing the art and cover. And there's a variant cover by Steve McNiven. Who did the original?
Yeah, dude.
And then it says, the description says, there's a blank air. Oh, there's going to be a Scotty Young variant.
Oh, God.
It's going to be oldish, but look like a kid. It's going to be fantastic. Let's see. Enter the Wastelands, a realm where all heroes have been murdered by their arch enemies, villains who now rule over the land with an iron fist in the midst of a dystopian chaos. One man may make a difference. That's what it says. So it sounds like it could be a sequel. It just they call it Old Man Logan 1, number 1. So, and then they show the other cover. That's the one I was telling about.
The McNiven cover?
That's the I think that's the McNiven one. Yeah,
it's obviously not the Scotty Young cover, but
No.
Yeah,
but if you look at that, that it does show everything from the first one, because it shows the kid with the Ant-Man helmet on and all that fun stuff,
which is pretty dope.
Yeah, Jubilee dead,
which is pretty dope.
Wow, Captain Dickface over here.
Not saying I haven't didn't really care for the character, but I didn't really care for the character. No, I mean,
but she had fireworks.
No, I mean, X-Men, Wolverine, they're kind of like that. They're on par for me with Superman. You know, they're there. I just don't really care. But Old Man Logan is probably one of my favorite. Is probably my favorite of all the X-Men Wolverine comics that have pretty much ever existed. Which are a lot, and I haven't read all of them. Wow.
Must be nice to be drunk.
I learned it from you.
Well, you learned from someone good at it.
Yeah. But that's like the Superman one, the Earth 2 Superman.
Earth 1.
Earth 1 Superman, sorry. Again, I don't really care for the character, but damn, those stories are fucking phenomenal.
They're pretty dope.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Don't look at stuff. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I don't know why Ant-Man has a Miami Vice cover and the guy's wearing a bear suit, but that's cool.
Because why not?
Fair enough.
That should be a thing now.
That's a dope-ass fucking Amazing Spider-Man cover. Oh, it's a variant. Dick faces.
So off track. So other news for this week. I don't know if you wanted to go over the Scarlett Johansson thing.
Yeah, fucking super racist. Super racism going on.
So she was announced to be playing the main detective, and I can't remember her main character, but she was a detective, right?
Yeah.
From the Ghost, Ghost in the Shell. Did it start out as a manga and then move to anime? Oh yeah, so manga slash anime, and there's backlash from the fans because she's not Asian. Scarlett Johansson's not Asian.
Garbage.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. I mean, she could actually, like, you know, like, go super method actor and just, like, super become Asian. It'd be weird.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing the dude, this guy.
The dude dresses as another dude.
Except in an Asian accent, not a Robert Downey Jr. black guy accent.
You guys want to
just imagine it
take,
like that?
Take a shot at that super racism? Anybody wants to do it?
No, I'm good.
No, right. We're good.
We're picking on racists. We don't want to add to it. These guys are fucking racist too, bunch of bigot fuckers. That is outrage from someone listening to their show, by the way.
Yeah. So I know Mike, before we started recording this, pointed out how much, you know, I hate when they make changes to scripts. So, yes, I could say it's a weird thing for me. Like, I don't really care enough to actually really even care, I guess, would be the point of that. the meandering point. Yes, I always...
you're so out of it right now, man.
I've been at school all day. I have a Red Bull in me just to try and, like, keep the energy going. So yes, I've watched most of the TV, most of the anime, and I've actually watched the movie. And to me, I never,
one of them.
How many were there? There was
two.
I watched Standalone Complex.
You watched the second one.
The second one.
So that's the Standalone Complex is the second TV show, the second set.
Was it the second set? I watched it as a whole movie.
Well,
it was on. It's on Netflix as.
There's a TV movie,
so that's probably what I watched was a TV movie.
Because there's standalone. There's Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. There's Standalone Complex Solid State Society, which is the second one.
That's I didn't see that one. I saw the other one.
Because there's Ghost in the Shell, then there's Ghost in the Shell Innocence, and then there's Shin. I cannot say this word ever, which is the third one.
Okay.
What happened to the one you watched?
I want to say.
Things, stuff.
No, there was a weapon that could. What was it? Yep, I don't remember. It's been a long time since I actually watched it, but I know I watched it. But all I'm saying is that you look at the character, at least the way she's drawn in the movies and the anime series. To me, she's very
ambiguous.
Ambiguous, exactly. You she almost looks more like she could be a combination of European and Asian ethnicities, because you can definitely see they have other characters, other secondary characters that are more Asian, and they look more Asian as they're drawn, but she's very just ambiguous. So to me, having Scarlett Johansson in play her could actually work, you know. And this is supposed to be off in the future, where a lot of the ethnicities are just mixed. The younger generations are just mixed. And on top of that, she's actually a fucking android. She's a fucking robot. So cyborg. She could... A cyborg, you know.
Well, split hairs. Androids are actual all-robot cyborgs. They're human and machines put together.
Right.
But... So I'm reading the thing about the petition. So to cover up their blatant racism, they're trying to use facts and numbers. So the original film is set in Japan, and the major cast members are Japanese. So why would an American remake star a white actress? The industry is already unfriendly to Asian actors, without roles in major films being changed to exclude them. One recent survey found in 2013, Asian characters made up only 4.4% of speaking roles in any top-grossing Hollywood films. This is the problem with this. If you watch a lot of Asian movies from over there, a lot of them are fucking god-awful. Not that they're bad actors. There are a shit ton of bad actors over there, but there's a shit ton here. But the movies aren't any good. And they're, the ones that are good are fucking weird sometimes, so they don't always play so well over here, because Americans are very hardcore about not watching weird shit in cinemas.
This is true. I mean, we've named a couple of movies today that...
Exactly.
They're really good movies, Scanner Darkly, but, you know... Just because they were weird, nobody went and saw them.
Yeah, because they're like, whoa, I don't know what I like this. I'm not going to watch it.
Plus, I mean, it's very early in development, at least, that they say it's an American adaptation. I mean, this could honestly take place in a futuristic New York. It could literally just be them taking the idea of it and just Americanizing it, just putting it completely in America, putting it completely with... U.S. characters, with the European characters and everything. So,
yeah,
I think it's kind of
quit being racist, internet.
That's not going to happen at all.
Ever. They're always going to be super racist. Yeah. So what the fuck, Mike?
It wasn't me.
It had to be Mike. Only fucking phone on the table.
Yeah, so that's I honestly think that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Really, for this week.
Joe still haven't read Saga 25.
Because I haven't gotten it yet. I'm sorry.
It's funny, because on the way home from Tempe to here, there's a place called Glendale.
Oh, no, yeah, I could totally stop off and then have to read every single goddamn text that you guys send me. Where are you? Are you here yet? Are
First
you
off, yet? That's just Mike and yet? Me that does that, so it's not everyone.
Yeah, true.
No, that's why I said you guys send me.
Yeah, not all the guys.
Yeah.
Not you, every guy.
You guys. Yous guys.
What do you mean by you guys?
I mean you two guys that are sitting at this table.
Joe's racist.
Yep.
Against you two, yeah.
Because we're asshole. Oh, damn it.
That's a race, right?
Assholes?
Yeah.
It's a fucking huge ass race. Most of the internet is that race.
And I hate them too.
Yep, so do I. They're all scumbaggy.
Just remember to, you know, go to iTunes and subscribe. And
he's redoing the
all you assholes out there.
Yeah, all you assholes, come listen, because we're assholes too.
Exactly.
And we should get along.
Because we're on the internet.
Yep.
Aw.
That makes Mike feel bad. Joke's on you. Mike doesn't have feelings. Oh, the fuck?
What?
James Patterson is doing a comic book?
Boo.
Oh, it's not written by him, though.
Okay, good.
It's based on a bestseller by him, though.
Okay.
No.
Let's wrap it up, fellas.
Never like read a James Christmas Patterson present. Book, but if you have to advertise your books on TV, I understand you're trying something different to get people, but I just don't like it.
Those anyway. Are the people we want. Yeah.
So?
Thor Arts. So that's it for this week. Do we have any plans for assignments for not next week, because we're recording at the comic store, but the week after?
Yes. You're going to lend me your sagas, and I'm going to get caught up.
before Joe has a chance to.
And we talk about Saga. No, because if we do it the week after next.
Nope. I'll talk about it next week.
Oh, fuck you.
And
he's gonna leave school early, get to comic store, read 25 just so he's prepared. Mike's like, I didn't read shit.
I can't leave school early. I have a test next week.
Well, you read volumes 1 and 2 of the trades, right?
See.
So if I gave you the hardcover, that's all the way up through 4, right?
You don't have the individual trades?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I don't have the trades. I have individual issues.
Oh, gotcha.
Because the only trade that I have is the hardcover one that's issues 1 through 18.
I don't know.
Fuck, I don't know. There's so many. Speaking of trades and graphic novels, so besides the fact I bought shit ton, Amazon's killing me right now. Fuck you, Amazon Prime, your 2-day shipping on stuff that's cheaper than everywhere else. Thanks for the great deal and making me poorer. The Image announced Sex Criminals hardcover edition, which is very similar to the one Saga did. So the deluxe hardcover. It's called the Big Hard Sex Criminals book.
Nice.
And it's bright pink.
Nice.
I was like, that's phenomenal. Hashtag butt stuff. It's a Matt Fraction thing.
It is.
Yeah. He's the writer of said stuff. So that is officially it. Unless anyone else has anything else to talk about.
Nope.
So that's it. Comes natural. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. And as usual,
next week from the comic book shop.
Go fuck yourselves.
Bye.